Aleluya.
Aleluya. Praise for the way. Praise. We give you praise for the way. Praise for the way it's worked with us. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Normally, we have the Lord of Heaven is so different than what we would expect. And today, I was pressed to take this little book in my briefcase, and he spoke to me. And he said, go to page 42. And so I'm going to obey interest tonight. We are facing part of our destiny. God has called us to be a body of believers named the House of Prayer for all nations and nationalities. We're also breaking ground today because we were pressed of the Lord to get a recorder, and this will go out on the internet for the first time in, I presume, days to come. This is what I want you to hear. To make Abraham and his seed a possessor. And what is it that the seed is to possess? Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for my possession. Psalms 2, verse 8. Even after his name was changed to Abraham, he did not see the ultimate fulfillment of this, for the fulfillment comes in the seed of Abraham, the many-membered, re-membered body of Christ, or re-established members in the body of Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for ye are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Look at your neighbor and say, you're an heir according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Do you not know that the saints, the Christians, will one day judge and govern the world? Did you hear that? Did you not know that the saints, the Christians, will one day judge and govern the world? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. And the Amplified Version will show you your future. So if you think you got no future, check it out. I believe that Abraham's covenantal first fruit ties into the Melchizedek was and still is an integral part of the covenant promise coming to fruition. It was a seed that bound Abraham and Melchizedek together. There's a seed going out from you and me and from the House of Prayer to Pastor Ravi in Israel, because of your faithfulness on Sunday. $416 is going out to him. I know, but this is just the beginning. Abi was moved of the Lord to come and minister to us, and I put a little personal note there, so he would have recollection. In February 1999, he ministered to me and all of his team. He ministered to the House of Prayer that was not known at the time. I had already been impacted and been bawling my eyes out for a week. Yeah. So why not you? I didn't even know why. I went through a whole box of Kleenex for 2 hours on a bus. And I kept saying, God, what did I do? All I did was visit on a mountain where my namesake Elijah pushed the unbelievers and shoved them into a corner and told them, who are you going to serve, Baal or the Most High God? God has covenanted with that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. And you say, oh, I'm having a hard time with my family. Well, get used to it. Your family's going to get bigger. Abraham sowed a covenantal first fruit tithe into Melchizedek. Jesus Christ, the promised seed of Abraham, was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Are you connecting the dots? It is the kingly, priestly Melchizedek anointing that brings the manifestation into the natural realm. You got any flesh on you? And of that which is already finished in the spiritual realm, namely all enemies subdued and under his feet, as the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ. You say, are you going to read the whole book? No, I'm just trying to give you insight. He said to me, read it. So I'm reading it. I'm hoping that it's going to go inside of you and it's going to impact you and let you know why there's such a war against you and against you. I can't yet put it into words. Imagine that me at a loss for words is the author's little joke. But I know in my spirit that a primary catalyst which is bringing our destiny to manifest is the covenantal first fruit tithe that Abram sowed into Melchizedek. I also believe there is a principle here for us. Is it talking to you? I find myself sowing into these ministries through whom God is raising up, mature sons. Those who are seeking to activate the calling and the destiny of others. Are you catching on? Are you catching on? It's not done out of any fulfillment of a requirement of law. Rather, it is done as a seed sown to bring a harvest of destiny. Did you see the seeds, girl? I believe that the covenantal first fruit is a powerful catalyst to release destiny. I am seeing my own destiny literally overtake me. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything hitherto barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessings. Amos chapter 9, verse 13, the Amplified. You say, well, why are you giving me out of a book? I'm giving it to you because he gave it to me to give it to you. It's the destiny of the house of prayer to be a covenantal, harmonious body, ready to release a seed unto Abraham's physical seed, Israel. And then there's another seed. Didn't he have an affair? Did anybody know he had an affair? His wife thought that he needed a girlfriend. Because they wanted that child so bad. And that's what's happening in the Middle East. The war between the siblings is still on. And you say, wait a minute, that's thousands of years. Big deal. Did you ever have an angry sister or brother? Think about what I'm giving you. I'm trying to give you understanding that when God decided to place us as a house of prayer for all nationalities, there's a reason for all nationalities. There's to be no more sibling rivalry in the body of Christ. None. The harvest, I believe, that we will receive will be up to the Lord. But I know that this is going out in the name of Jesus Christ. And it will produce good fruit. And I know that there's an influx in Jerusalem from all the people up north. Did anybody catch the news last night? There was an awesome report that Mom and I were watching because they showed the Sea of Galilee, the boat we were on, all the places where we visited, the hotel where we stayed at, the boardwalk we stopped, we walked in, the restaurant we ate dinner in. And it was overwhelming because there's not a person there. And the people and the owners of the shops are saying, it's a miracle that we're still alive. There's not one person in the hotel. That's the very hotel that I told you guys about, that Mom didn't understand what she was going to have for breakfast, and the lady spoke perfect Parisian French. She happened to be the cook. And so she gave my mother around a tour of the breakfast area. And the table to have breakfast was from here to the door over there, which was roughly about 12 feet wide. And it went up like a wedding cake in tiers of food. The abundance was awesome. And it took my mother an hour to have breakfast because she was just overwhelmed with all the goodies. I want to bless those people that are having to move out of their homes to get to safety down in Jerusalem. And I know that Avi and his team down there will minister the word of the Lord and the heart of love unto those that he receives, whether they are of Jewish background, Palestinian background, whether they're coming from Lebanon, it won't matter. Because when I was ministered to by their team, we had a lady there that was from Russia. She could barely speak English, but she sang gorgeous. I wish you could have seen and listened to her heart as she worshiped God. She came out of Russia as an unacceptable seed. But she came to Avi and was born again as a Jew, being transformed. Why? Because that was God's plan. You say, I don't like the idea that all these people are out of work. Tough cookies. Stop trying to figure out God out. If he wants to give them a vacation and somebody to minister to them, and maybe give them a plate of soup to give them life, that's what we're all about. That's what God is all about. So tonight, when I heard the music, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for honoring us with obedience. Not with what you prepare, but obedience. Obedience is better than? Obedience is better than?
Sacrifice.
We read it Sunday. Obedience is better than all kinds of sacrifices. Just to do what he says to do, no matter how silly you may seem to think that you are. Like maybe you got three heads today because you obeyed. Or maybe you kind of cried and couldn't figure it out. God took care of it anyway. This morning, when I awoke, I'd had two dreams. And I wasn't going to say anything. Walked into the kitchen, and my wife is mostly preparing her breakfast, and she says, I had this weird dream. For her, every dream is weird. For me, it gave me hope. But she dreamt about her uncle. Her uncle actually lived in the same house with her, and he was killed in World War II. And in the dream, she was in the funeral home, and he literally got up out of the coffin and began to minister to the people there. And he had such a smile on his face. And he was happy. And for me, the dream that I had was my 14-year-old buddy that got killed on a bike. And I was sad and I found myself crying as I woke up. Because I still miss him. How do you know? How could you miss somebody that's been gone? Since you were, I was 12 when he died. I realized I still miss you. But God put him in my dream this morning. And so I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I'm excited about your dream more than mine. I was still weeping, but yours is resurrection. And to me, it's resurrection of her family. Because he went home in his youth. And my little friend went home in his youth. And it was saying something to me. It was saying, don't give up on those that are on the other side. God is definitely aware, and their resurrection is coming up. The day of the Lord is at hand. What is he going to be doing when he comes? It seems to me that there's, in the book of Acts, St. Paul has this young man that falls from the third floor. So when did resurrection happen? Only with Jesus? Or with the body of Jesus? If you fall out of the third floor, we'll go pray on you, and we'll get you back up, and we'll say, live! You think I'm teasing? That's the future. That's when they're going to say, welcome in the name of the Lord. Israel is waiting for a Messiah. Wouldn't it be awesome that he shows up in the body of believers and begins to resurrect their dead soldiers? Instead of having a funeral home full of mourners, we have celebrators. Do you understand? We're being prepared to be sons. That's our destiny. That's why that message was so important to me this morning. And I said, Lord, thank you. Now, I didn't know he was going to tell me to go page 42, but I didn't forget it. See, obedience on every level. He can use the Bible, he can use the scriptures, he can use anything he wants to wake you up. He'll send you on the internet. He'll make you do some homework. He'll send you with a message. But mostly, that's the purpose of your purpose. Obey. Dance before the Lord with all of your might was the commission that King David had. Do you think he felt like dancing? What did his wife say? She was ashamed of him. What happened to her because of her unbelief? She was buried. We talked about unbelief earlier before. Amen? What is that sin of unbelief? Are we having to be St. Thomas? Even though the unbelievers like Thomas got reprimanded by the Lord, he at least took care of it. Didn't he? So if you have problems with unbelief, the Lord will take care of you. Why am I giving you this message tonight? I have no idea except to obey. But I do believe that the nations are going to awaken to a message of transformation and resurrection. And they will understand that it's not the end of the world over there. Lebanon is being shifted around. Israel is being shifted around. And I heard a little bit last night on the Benny Hinn program. And I was blessed. And there's more to come tonight at 10 o'clock, I understand. Awesome. Don't underestimate God's prophets. They're walking and talking and speaking the word of the Lord. There were times that God has pressed us to obey, and we didn't understand. And tonight is no exception. I didn't want to get up off the floor. Somebody obeyed and did something to my feet. And I said, Lord, I can't move. I don't need to move. I can enjoy the moment. But I was glued to the floor. Why? Because God wanted me to rest. The message was rest. And I will build my house. The message was don't try to construct. I will build and call upon those that I want. Please be patient with each other. Be loving to those that have had a difficult time. Whoever they may be, whatever they've done, whatever hardships they're going through, hold them in your heart. Intercede for them. Pray for them diligently until the Holy Spirit transforms whatever he wants for them and with them, and with you and me. Because the heart doesn't change just in one. The heart changes in both. When an intercession is actually in progress, and you might be a little upset about a family member, right? Well, you have a choice. You can get upset, and you can stay upset, right? That was part of our conversation, right? Yeah, and Bob says to me, Kim, it's a waste of time. I know I'm not going to waste my time doing that. I used to do that, right? Yeah. But he made a decision. We're not going to go there anymore. Okay? How many of that ever a few wounds from somebody you love? Oh.
No.
No. Never happened to you, huh? I see you're well healed. You're every day, so I'm dry. All teasing aside, every hand goes up because every single believer goes through tests. The purposes of the test is to see how we're going to come out on the other side. You know, tonight, you're getting initiated with two messages from a little booklet. Because I have a second booklet. And this one's all underlined. So I want to see how well you are. Did you ever have a test? Okay. So don't look at each other on this test. Just close your eyes and let this word go into your heart. So I'm going to give you a test. Humility is the greatest of all virtues. It is the tree upon which all the branches of Christ's virtues hang. I repeat, it is the tree upon which all the branches of Christ's virtues hang. Humility does not seek its own way, or its own rights, or seek to be respected or to dominate. True humility does not consider self at all. Say ouch. It is easily entreated, easily forgives, even without an apology. That's a double ouch. The person well forged in humility seeks to be invisible for Christ's glory. As his glory is that for which they live. So in short, they are interested in the care, supremacy for Christ's glory and the need of others. They live for Christ and the well-being of his church. Again, this is virtue. This virtue is something that Christ has to produce in us. Try it out. Again, this virtue is something that Jesus Christ has to produce inside of me. Isn't that awesome? Although we must live to seek the lower place of humility, he alone can produce this grace by the workings of his life inside of us and in the body of Christ as well. The Lord understands this and is very willing to help us become like him until at long last it is he who expunges the soul of pride and its unseemly elements to saturate us with his own lovely humility. I believe that as we rested in his presence, as we allowed him to perform the gift by grace of his humility being put into us, because it's not there. I love to defend myself. I like to defend my cause. Right, Jim? I mean, it's comfortable. After all, I need to be right once in a while. Yeah, me too. But the nicest part is that it's dying. And I'm watching it fall apart a little bit at a time. Now, I'm not quite as defensive as I used to be. True. I'm coming down a little bit in that area. And I know that God is doing his work. And I'm saying, Lord, don't stop. Now, when I say, Lord, don't stop, that means somebody else is going to irritate you. Come on. Amen. So you're not all done until you roll over and say, okay, and stretch out your arms and let them crucify you one more time. And how many times are you going to get caught in that web? As many times as you don't pass the test. So isn't our God good? As many times as you don't pass the test, he'll let you go back and catch on. So my prayer tonight is that you ask for the Lord's grace. Because without grace, you're not going to do it. So you got somebody's hand next to you? Reach out. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Without your grace.
Without your grace.
Humility won't be a part of my future.
Humility will not be a part.
Because I'm still having struggles with pride.
Because I'm still having struggles with pride.
The wrong kind of pride.
The wrong kind of pride.
The pride that says I gotta win.
The pride that says I gotta win.
Lord Jesus, I lead lights of grace.
Lord Jesus, I lead lights of grace.
Because you won't give up on me. As long as I don't give up on me. Amen? So keep forming humility. Your beautiful humility.
Your beautiful
inside of me.
I need it.
Because I want the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any additional?